Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell. Joining us back for a second visit is actor and MS advocate, Jamie Lynn Sigler. Jamie Lynn is an award-winning actress, best known for her role as mezzo-soprano in HBO's Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning series, The Sopranos. She is also well-known for her roles in ABC's hit drama, Big Sky, and HBO's hit series, Entourage. She recently had a profound guest-starring role in Grey's Anatomy, starring as Dr. Laura Kaplan, a doctor with MS. Her current endeavor is a memoir titled, And So It Is, a memoir of acceptance and hope. The book, published May 2026, is Jamie's personal account of the vicissitudes of life, from early stardom to heartache and love, motherhood and illness, offering readers an unflinchingly vulnerable exploration of the experiences that have transformed her life. Outside of TV and film, Jamie Lynn hosts the podcast Messy with friend Christina Applegate. She currently lives in Austin, Texas, with her husband and two sons. It's so nice to see you again, Jamie.
Great to see you.
Well, thank you for joining us. You know, before we get started, I think we've all seen you on the airwaves and what you've been doing. And I'd love to jump into what you're doing with Novartis.
Yes, thank you. I am so proud of my partnership with Novartis. We've been working together for a couple of years and been able to collaborate on some really beautiful projects and tools and resources that we're able to give other people that are living with RMS. You know, I've been able to sort of work with them and talk about what I've learned and what I've valued and what I think other people would value and need in their RMS journey. You know, I've lived with this disease for 25 years. I've lived with it as a secret for 15 of those. And then once becoming public, you know, had a decade under my belt of then sort of trying to find, to understand like how to live it out loud. It wasn't necessarily right away where I was like, oh, okay, I have MS and I could use this. And here's what, you know, it was still sort of this undoing and sort of relearning of how to accept it, how to not judge myself, how to not project other judgments and thinking that's the way that people are thinking about me. And so one of the things that I think is the most important that we've created together is a treatment decision guide. Because if I think back to when I was initially diagnosed, you know, it was 25 years ago, there weren't many treatments on the market, but I didn't ask any questions. I didn't ask about any questions about the disease. I didn't ask anything about the medications. And nothing against my doctor. It was a different time, but I really wish he would have also probed me maybe with some questions of like, what do you want to accomplish in your life? What does your life look like? How do you feel? What are you afraid of? So, you know, giving a patient detailed questions to ask their doctor so that they can reach an informed decision together, especially around their treatment, I think is a really great first step, especially in your beginning of any MS journey. Because learning to find your voice, learning how to advocate for yourself, especially when it comes to treatment, because treatment in the end of the day helps reduce relapses. And it's important to find something that you feel comfortable with and you say can stay consistent with. And so when I was able to ask and have my doctor all these questions and have these conversations, for us, we landed on Kesimpta or ofatumumab because I can self-administer it. After 3 week we starter doses, it's once a month. I can take it at home. I can take it when I'm traveling. I pick the day of the week. I pick the time of the day. And it's allowed me to have more independence, more autonomy, more control in an otherwise sometimes overwhelming and uncontrollable situation. And obviously, when we're talking about medication, there's always risks, which is something you continue to talk to your doctor about and take into consideration. And with Kesimpta, there's risks where if you have active hepatitis B, you cannot take it, so you get tested for that. You could have allergic reactions. Thankfully, I haven't had any. It can cause liver damage, so you take, you know, blood tests before and during. There's injection reactions, lower antibodies. If you're pregnant, you have to or wanting to become pregnant. These are all things to discuss with your doctor. But creating that treatment decision guide, which is literally treatmentdecisionguide.com, I'm hoping to just empower patients to be able to find their voice and take a more active role in their RMS journey.
I think that is an amazing gift that you give. And I think the difference between just mentioning or promoting a medication versus educating how to utilize and utilize a DMT as part of your overall plan is such a gift to people with MS, because it is a very overwhelming and sometimes very daunting diagnosis.
Yes.
And wherever you're at your juncture, you know the importance of incorporating a DMT into your plan.
That's right. And finding one that's right for you and fits your lifestyle and your goals. And again, one that you can stay consistent with. And I just think, you know, information is power. Information makes you feel more confident. And I used to think that too much information would be just like overload. And it's been quite the opposite. I think it's just made me feel, I don't know, just more educated and even more in control and just, you know, more hopeful even.
Absolutely. You're taking up the mantle. You're taking it back. You're like, mm-hmm. I have this to say, and I'm taking this back, and I'm going to go this way. You
That's
might
right.
do this, but this is mine.
That's right.
I like it. And that leads me into another question. You know, you were diagnosed at a young age and at a time when you did choose to keep it to yourself. How has your perception of MS and living with MS shifted since that?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I thought MS was like a scarlet letter, you know, that I wanted to hide. Like, I thought that it said something about me and who I was and what I deserved and that I was probably less than and probably not good enough. And I think a lot of that came from living in it, with it as a secret, because I was only able to just sort of ruminate about the disease and what it meant for me on my own. And much of my coming public about it was, you know, slowly over the years broadening the circle around me of people that knew, and having people just beyond my family look at me and say, Jamie, I don't think of MS when I see you. This doesn't define you. It doesn't take away from, I'm not friends with you because you have MS, and I'm not going to not be friends with you because you have MS. Like, you need to sort of take that off the table. You're hiding pieces of yourself that are, we find valuable, that we find beautiful, because you're afraid of what the world will think of you if they knew you have this. And so having friends and a community make me see myself through their eyes, I think really gave me a lot of the strength that I needed to come forward about the fact that I live with RMS.
And do you ever find, I know for myself, I've had 17 years just about, and I still go through times where I'll feel like I am going to check my brain. Wait, does this identify me? Is this pigeonholing me? It's a continuum of almost reinventing our mindset to, you know, wait, this is not my definer. This
That's
is not
right.
going to be my end all be all. And it's not my... it's not navigating life for me. I'm navigating life with it.
That's right. And I think that's a lot of how my advocacy has shifted. You know, I think when I initially came out about it, it was a relief and it was beautiful. And the MS community, I realized I was robbing myself of that, of all these other people that could validate my experience and make me feel seen. But I don't know, at the time I felt like there's responsibility, but like, but I'm okay. But I'm great. And that's true. That's still true. But I now feel comfortable sharing sort of the full spectrum of my experience, right? And really sharing the painful parts too. And that comes along with it. And really, in the sharing of that, that's also allowed it to be kind of this universal message. Because We all deal with pain. We all deal with obstacles in life, but it's the story that we tell ourselves about that pain that adds real struggle or an unnecessary layer of struggling on top of, you know, what is already happening. And so sort of kind of coming into my own and accepting and feeling comfortable in sharing the whole experience, I think has allowed me to have an even deeper connection with the MS community. There's a trust amongst us. And now I feel like I'm fully representing myself and others in a more authentic way.
I love hearing that. Just witnessing your journey from my own perspective, I've noticed that. And it's you've given a gift to people, because as you've freed yourself, you give others the power and the confidence to do the same. To say, hey, you know, I want to look okay and I want to be like all this and all that, but I have bad days and I'm going through a hard time and this is a hurdle. And we're able to hold both. We're able to find beauty with it. It doesn't negate or, you know, or rule out or trump another, but that's the disease. We do have undulating. It's just the nature.
That's right.
You're being honest. You're being boldly honest, which I really respect.
Thank you. And, you know, I think it's just sort of also transferred into other areas of my life where I've just learned now how to be honest and vocal and self-advocate in every area, you know, and feeling comfortable and just being human and just, you know, like, and just allowing all of that, not needing to be perfect, not needing to be strong, you know, not needing to be the perfect example of anything, just knowing that in my, you know, authentically truthful self, that is what people want. That's what people want. That's what people want to connect to more. That's what I want to connect to more. And I think it's given me more confidence. It's given me more confidence to say, this is wrong, or I'm wrong, or I'm sorry, or I don't know. You know, there's a lot of freedom in that.
Absolutely. Stepping boldly into a truth, whatever it is on any given day.
That's right.
I find that in your book, and that is incredible. Just so many of the things, as you put it, vicissitudes. But I love to hear more about what inspired you to actually put pen to paper and share all this, because it is incredibly freeing to hear from you that these are your experiences and who you are for them.
Yes. I think I've just found myself at a place in my life where I was ready to look back and revisit a lot of painful moments, knowing that I'm able to come to them with forgiveness and grace, most importantly for myself, in a way that I just never felt ready to before. So to be able to go back through my life and sit and validate for that young girl the pain she was in, the struggle that she might have been creating for herself at times, and see she was doing her best and send her the love that she wasn't opening herself up to. And also seeing the universe at play and sort of the synchronicities of life and just taking all that with me now, moving forward with so much more faith and so much less weight on my shoulders, because these are stories that I thought would mean that no one would love me, that people would reject me, that no one could ever relate to. And to be able to show other people, like, I've forgiven myself, I've loved myself, even with all of this, and I hope that you can see yourself in my story and do the same, because we're all deserving of that. We're all human, and we all, like I said, we all have pain, we all have struggle. Life is for learning, and I think the moment we accept that, we can move forward with more grace and more trust and more faith. And it's also a love letter to the people that have loved me and supported me through it all. I robbed myself for so long of that, thinking that I wasn't deserving of it. And I hope that that's another gift that I could give people, is like, no, I don't have to go through this alone. I shouldn't go, whether it's one person or five people or 50 people, whatever it is. I'm really understanding the power of community and the power of just human connection.
I feel that from you. And forgiving that young girl for
only being a product of who she was, so scared.
That's right.
And so scared that not only on a personal front, but professionally, you would not have a career. I mean, the multitude of things that must have been going on, just to say to her, you're okay. I love her. She'll always be at your table, but you can just quiet her now, realizing what a gift she is to you, who you are today.
Yeah, and she's a part of me. And I really, you know, I was able to look back and have, like I said, gratitude and appreciation for all of it, even the really hard stuff, because it's made me who I am. It's given me my perspective. It's allowed me to be able to share. You know, I think sometimes I can look back and think maybe I was meant to go through all of this for this act of service that I'm, you know, in this platform. And because I was so blessed with so many people to support me through this, that I am able to share in the way that I am. And so, like I said, I really was surprised with how much gratitude I was filled with for it all.
I think sometimes people can see you and think, oh, she's got resources or whatnot, and immense strength, which you do. And what's something that would surprise people that I don't like to say that you struggle with? I don't believe that, but that might make people feel, okay, I can relate to that. And what would surprise somebody?
Well, I think like what you were talking about before, I still have moments where I let MS get the best of me. And I start to question, like, should I still be acting? Should I still be, you know, trying? Does anybody care? Am I good enough? Like, I absolutely still find myself bumping up against those things. It's a practice. It's a practice to come back to. It's another thing that I created with Novartis was this three-step guide at reframingms.com, which is the reflect, reframe, reach out. It's not like a one and done thing. This is something that sometimes I need as a daily practice. Sometimes, you know, I could be on a good run and find that I need it again. But I still struggle. I still have moments where I am scared. I still have moments where I am devastated. I still have heartbreak every day. That is, never something that I will deny, but it's just part of it. It's just part of this journey, and I have to accept it. And when I do, that allows me to, you know, move forward.
I think part of what Novartis has done too is give that cycle to everybody a moment to reflect, whether it is in a day or a week or a month. Sometimes those cycles are very needed to be able to manage our disease and move forward. MS changes so much, but sometimes it brings out a blessing or two.
Yeah.
What would you say it has revealed about you that you never knew was in there?
I think that all of those fears and insecurities and things that I felt about myself and the world were there well before MS. I think MS just really made them loud. Uh-huh. And at the forefront. And so if anything, what MS did was invite me in and invite me to look in and give healing a whole different meaning, and made me focus so much on myself that I was able to, you know, connect with those broken parts of myself and find some healing.
That's amazing. And how do you find that you, with the everyday struggles, and you have a family and a wonderful family and an abundant life, how do you navigate the daily struggles? How do you navigate ups and downs?
Speaking them out loud. I mean, whether that's like a journal entry to a friend, to my husband, like I really try not to let anything sit inside or in my head for too long. You know, just even if it's someone like, ugh, this is so hard right now. I got it out. I named it. It's out there. We've acknowledged it. Now we can move on. You know, not sort of white knuckling through things, which, listen, sometimes I have to. Sometimes there's not the space. But when I get home, when I get in my car, you know, scream in a pillow, put some loud music, whatever it is, I make sure that I'm getting some sort of release of the tension that living with MS can bring.
That's a powerful message, because we are all in phases of our day where we white knuckle work or we white knuckle moments, and then being able to give ourselves permission to get it out. Yes. I always say the most dangerous neighborhood in the world is between our ears.
That's right.
Sure, you can get lost in there.
Nasty streets,
dark sometimes.
Yeah.
How do you balance mental and physical health?
Great question. I do what I can. I used to be really hard about not, like, oh, I didn't do it every day, and they said to do it every day, and if I don't do it every day, I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to, you know, this is never going to get stronger. And I realized how much that way of thinking was hurting me. It was like stressing me out more and adding into a narrative that I've really worked hard to combat or to reframe. And so, you know, giving myself grace. If I didn't work out 5 days a week and do all of my exercises, that's okay, because I'll try to be like, but you know what I was doing? I was outside with my kids, or I went to a movie, or I went to a nice dinner with friends. Not being perfect at diet, not being perfect at PT or meditating every day, all of the things. Like, obviously, if I'm in a groove, I can feel the benefits of doing all of those things consistently, but I'm also a human being and allowing myself the grace to just not do it perfect all the time.
Another powerful message, and such a grace to all of ourselves is just such a powerful way to live, even if we don't believe it in the moment, just
yeah.
give it to ourselves. And as we close, and I'm so grateful for your time, what message would you like to leave our listeners, if you had any message to leave?
Oh, I mean, again, I think I say it all the time, but MS does not define you. It does not take away your value or any piece of who you are. I would just invite you to see maybe its purpose in your life, what it's invited you to sort of sit and reflect on. And that you're not alone.
Thank you. Thank you for your time today, Jamie Lynn Ziegler. And thank you to our audience today at Multiple Sclerosis News Today. This is the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast, and I'm your host, Jen Powell.
Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.